Shabbat shalom. I do not have a joke like my rabbi Jim because I'm not good at English jokes. And if I would say a Spanish joke translated, you would not get it. So, so basically, we are going straight to the Bible. That's my major. And normally, I try to do this with a PowerPoint and I write every note, but I never have a remote control. So this time I say, well, it's just a waste of time. I'm not going to do it because Larry always does it. And today he handed me the remote control. So I don't know how to do this, but we are going to try to do it. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for each one of us here. I ask you, Father, that as we read your scriptures, your word, that we may be healed, we may be delivered, we may be set free, and we may have a special experience with you today, that our lives will never be the same as we go throughout these readings and through this PowerPoint slides, that your Ruach HaKodesh will continue to move freely upon this place, and that your Ruach HaKodesh will come and inhabit in our hearts, in our mind, and change us, and give us exactly what we need according to your richness in heaven. Father, there's so many people here that are sick. There's so many people here that needs a touch from you. There's maybe one or two person here that they came here maybe for the last day and they've been saying, God, this is the last day I'm going to make it to Shema. I will no longer go there because I do not feel that you are with me and I do not feel your presence upon me. Father God, I ask you that you have mercy upon your congregation. Have mercy upon us. And if any one of us needs a miracle today, Father, you are more than able to do that miracle, Father. Through the blood of Yeshua, we claim it and we ask you humbly through the blood of Yeshua, through the blood of the Lamb, Father, perform the miracle, set us free, and give us an experience that we will never forget, that we will always forget. Whatever it has happened in the past, but we will never forget what is about to happen in this house. In the name of Yeshua, I believe that there is going to be such an experience of God in this house that we will never be the same. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that and I'm ready for that. Glory to the Lord. We're going to be talking today about Terumah, which is the Torah portion for this week, and it may be translated as offering, right? And we're going to be going through Exodus 25 through 27, but basically I'm going to be preaching about just one verse. But before going to that verse, I got to make an introduction, because we're going to be talking about the Mishkan, about the tabernacle, about the house of the Lord, right? So as we have been reading through Exodus, and as we're going to read through the book of Exodus in the parsha for today, we're going to see this word, Terumah. But let me provide you with a brief introduction and a brief review of the previous parsha so that we can all understand the context and the text within the context. As many of you remember, last time that I was teaching in this platform, I was teaching about let my people go. That time we learned how the people of Israel was living as slaves for many years, and they were let go. They were even kicked out of the land of Egypt, right? And they were headed to Mount Sinai. Miracles, wonders, plagues, and all other of visible signs were seen by Moses and the people of Israel as ways of confirming the power of Adonai over Pharaoh and over his idols. Miracles in the desert, a rock pouring out water, food coming out straight from heaven, and shoes and clothing that would not wear out were just part of everyday miracles in the desert experienced by Moses and his people. Once at Mount Sinai, we see in chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus, one of the examples, and to me is maybe the greatest miracle in Torah. We see the manifestation of Adonai at Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai that Adonai inscribed his commandment with his finger in the two tablets of stones, the tablets of the covenant. It is at Mount Sinai that over 3 million people, which came out of Egypt, literally heard the voice of Adonai, the creator of heavens and earth. This time at Mount Sinai, it was not just one person listening to the voice of the Lord. It was just not a dream about some one only person. This time the whole scenario of the people of Israel changed. This time at Mount Sinai, it was not just a dream or a vision to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. This time at Mount Sinai, it was not about a vision. But this time at Mount Sinai was the full presence and essence of Adonai speaking out in an audible way to over 3 million people who witnessed his presence, his glory, his power, and his voice. And to me, Shema, with no doubt, this is the greatest manifestation of the Torah, the greatest manifestation of my Abba, the one at Mount Sinai. Over 3 million people, some say 2 million, some others say 3 million people heard the voice of Adonai speaking out the commandments. And if we remember some of the details at Mount Sinai, and we really need to review this before we can understand what is going to happen today. The purpose of Adonai at Mount Sinai was to give the people of Israel an everlasting, ongoing, continuous experience of his presence among his people. You see, my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is an Elohim of experiences. He wants you to know him. He wants you to find him in Torah, and he wants to reveal himself to you. But he also wants to give you an experience of his presence in your life. It's not just about I heard about God or I'm reading about God. He wants you to have an experience with him, an experience that will change your whole life, an experience that you can say like Paul, at one point I heard of you, but now my own eyes have seen you. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, we can read, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am Adonai your God, who freed you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. You see, Adonai wants to reveal himself to us by having a powerful intervention in your life and by providing a deliverance experience that will always benefit you. Adonai today also wants to reveal himself to you, but not only through the knowledge that I am imparting you today. Adonai, my God, wants to reveal himself to you today through a personal experience that could change your life from today and on. He wants to give you an experience of salvation. He wants to give you an experience of revelation, an experience of deliverance from your enemies in a very supernatural way, which you will never forget. Adonai today wants to give you the experience of becoming his people, his beloved one. Abba wants to interrupt into your life, and he wants to provide you with a unique experience. Be very attentive, my friends here and my brothers, because through the rest of this message, I can tell you right now that you will not be the same. At the end of this teaching, because Adonai wants to give you an experience that will last and endure forever, an experience of his presence, an experience of being able to understand his word and to live according to his commandment. Adonai, the Elohim of Israel, the one who created heavens and earth, wants to dwell among us in the same way that he wanted to dwell with Adam and Eve.
at Mount Sinai. Once again, the purpose, the ultimate goal at Mount Sinai was to reveal himself, to engage with his people, was from God to marry unto his people and to have intimacy with his people by dwelling among his people. And this is the same pattern that Adonai wants to establish here in this place with you today. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to propose his covenant to you. If you accept Shema Israel, like the people of Israel at Mount Sinai did, he will speak his words to you in a way that you will understand his love. If you accept his love today and engage with him today, making a covenant with him, he will also dwell among you, and he will be, and you will be his people, and he will be your God. It is his desire, hallelujah, to come and dwell among us today. It is his desire to be our God, to be our King, to be our provider. It is his intention for us, for you and me, to become his solely possession. The ultimate goal of Adonai at Mount Sinai that time was to permanently dwell among his people. And this is why I stated before that he stated a permanent, he wanted a permanent, ongoing, everlasting experience with his people, with you and me. It's not about the experience that someone had. It's not about the experience that Moses had at Mount Sinai. It's not about the experience that Rabbi Jim had 20 years ago. It's about your experience with Adonai. It's about your experience with Elohim today, now, in this place, because this is holy ground. This is very similar today to Mount Sinai. It was the holy ground, and this is the holy ground. And you know why? Because holy people of God are here, and we are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. And when we get together, we fall in a nice way, right? We force in a nice way the presence of Abba among his people, among you and among me. And you know what? Even if you are healed and you don't need anything from God today, but your neighbor may need a miracle, and that's why we want to come all into agreement and ask the Lord, Lord, inhabit in this place, dwell in this place. I am ready for your presence. I need an experience that will change my life. I need an experience. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul says that God is not about words, it's about power. That Yeshua, the gospel of Yeshua, is not about nice words. It's not about fancy teachings. It's about power. And that's what we are looking for today in this place. Hallelujah. It is his desire to come and dwell among us. Hallelujah. Adonai is Elohim, and he is the real Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who revealed himself once again at Mount Sinai. He is the God of the experiences. He is the God that wants you to experience his presence, his love, his power, and his mercies. Unfortunately, at Mount Sinai, things did not end up in the best way. You remember that? I was preaching about that, and I preached last year at Mount Sinai. Once Moses came down from the top of the mountain to talk to the people of Israel, to talk to the bride, the people of Israel was already found committing spiritual adultery. Just maybe a few minutes ago, my God was speaking like the sound of the shofar at Mount Sinai. And the people say, we will do whatever you say. We will do whatever you say. We will accept you as our God. We will be your people, and you will be our God. A few instants later, Moses came down with the covenant tables, right, to present the ketubah, to present the marriage contract to the people. And they were already committing adultery. They were already worshiping a golden calf. How many times we have done the same thing? How many times we have said, Lord, I will surrender fully into your life. I will surrender and I will do whatever you want. We say this during the Shabbat service, right? And once the Shabbat service is over, we keep on talking with the neighbor about the problems, about the illnesses, about the car, about the mortgage. And we already forget that Shabbat is all about the Lord, that Shabbat is a holy day, that Shabbat is a day set apart. And we may not be worshiping a calf, idol, but somehow we go again into those sins, right? Just when we say, God, now it is the day, and I will no longer go back. Many times we find ourselves just as the people of Israel. But I remind you once again that the whole purpose of God in this place was to dwell among his people, was to have a continuous experience. It was not just about the tables of the covenant. It was not just about his powerful voice, like the sound of the shofar. He wanted to dwell among his people. But God, my God, he is the God of opportunities. He is the God of love. Hallelujah. Not only Adonai delivered his people from Egypt, from slavery, for love, but also he conducted his people through the desert, also with love. And even though the bride committed adultery and voided the intimacy, the permanent part of the wedding process at Mount Sinai, God again showed his love and mercy, giving another chance, another opportunity to his people. And this time, Adonai retakes what was interrupted at Mount Sinai. This time, Adonai would like to retake that love story that started at Mount Sinai. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Parasha number 19, Terumah, which can be translated as offerings. This is all the introduction. The main purpose of my Adonai at the Garden of Eve and was to dwell among his people. It was not to create a covenant. He had to create a covenant because we failed. But his purpose has always been to dwell among you, to be one with you. Adam and Eve failed, but my God is the God of love. He tried it once again at Mount Sinai. They fell. They broke the covenant, and now he tries it maybe for the third time. And it says on this slide, Exodus 25, Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel to make up a collection for me. Accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. The contribution you are to take from them is to consist of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, tan ram skins, and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and other stones to be set for the ritual vest and breastplate. They are to make me a sanctuary so that I may live among them. And again, we see the love of God here. We see Adonai saying to Moshe, tell the people, tell everybody who have in their heart a good desire for me to bring all these things so that you can make me a sanctuary, and I will live among them. Every time it says offering, the word in Hebrew is terumah or terumah, right? And terumah is more than an offering. Terumah is not about a tithing. Terumah is not about money. Terumah is about bringing what you have and put it into the service of Adonai, the creator of heavens and earth. He who is the owner of the silver and the gold is asking you for the terumah. Terumah is asking you for something to bring to the temple so they can make a huge temple and he can dwell, not in the temple, but he can dwell in the midst of his people. So when we talk about terumah, many people are very confused and they think it's money. Here comes Rabbi Reuben. He's going to talk about money because we are trying to move to a new sanctuary, and he's going to speak about a special offering. Well, you know what? No, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the love of God. He wants you to bring yourself, your whole body, your heart, your mind, your soul as a terumah into the sanctuary so he can dwell among his people. This is very interesting because it's not about the money. That is tithe or tzedakah. And we really need to do tithing and tzedakah, right? We really need to do that. But today's parsha is not about money. It's about terumah. Terumah. Paul says that if the terumah, which some Orthodox brothers says that it's the 2% of whatever you have, right? If the terumah is holy, the whole fruit, the whole thing then will be holy. That's why besides the 10% and besides the charity that we bring, we also bring terumah. It's something else that is within my heart, right? It's that check that I received in my mailbox that I was not expecting. Ah, not only the 10%, and not only I'm going to help my sister that is without a job in a tzedakah way, but I'm going to bring the terumah. Because if the first part of that check is holy, the rest is going to be holy. If the beginning of my day, the terumah, I give terumah to God at 6 o'clock in the morning, that will guarantee me that the rest of the day will be holy unto God. Hallelujah. If whatever I get in my house, I separate the tenth, the tzedakah, and the terumah, the rest of the mass, the rest of everything will be holy unto God as well. How many of you believe that? It is very hard just to wake up early in the morning and go out and start working, cursing because of the traffic light and the traffic jam. By the time we get to the office, we have cursed 123 times. And we have shown the middle finger maybe 30 times. That's not terumah. How come your day is going to be blessed? How come you're going to ask or expect from the Lord that you will lay hands on someone and that someone is going to be healed or set free? When the same fingers that you're using to lay hands on someone are the same fingers that you use to lift it up on someone. That's not terumah. But the Lord in this case is asking you for terumah. For terumah to make a mishkan, to make a temple. And I have to make an acclaratory note because I may not be able to remember at the end of this 20 minutes. Everything in the temple is about Yeshua. Everything, every single word about the temple. And if I have a passion for something in Torah, it's the temple. And every square inch of that mishkan yells Yeshua. Okay, so it's all about Yeshua. Whew. And as per Rabbi Shaul, the Holy Spirit has been now poured upon us. So now we are the mishkan of God, right? And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. But before we can understand what is that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we really need to make a quick review about the temple. If we see in the verses, Adonai continues to try to dwell among his people. Even when we fail, even when we betray, even when we sin, Adonai will always try to find his way in the midst of us. We should have no doubt in our mind that Adonai's love is greater than your sin, than your transgressions. Even when our own judgments rule against us, the judgment of Adonai, the judgment of mercies from Adonai will rule in your favor. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, says Adonai, let's talk this over. Even if your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Even if they are red as crimson, they will be white as wool." What will separate us from the love of God? Trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger? Nothing will depart you from the love of God, which is in Yeshua Messiah. And because nothing can separate us from the love of Adonai, which is in Yeshua, Adonai requests in Exodus 26 a teruma from his people so that they can build a mishkan for him and he could dwell among his people. This was once again the original intention in the Garden of Eve, to dwell among his creation. And this is the intention now with the collection of the teruma that God is asking to his people, to dwell among his people by asking his people to construct a mishkan. Like I told you before, my God, the God of Abraham, he is the God of experiences. He not only wants to give us Torah instructions to follow, but he wants to dwell among us so we can experience his love and we can experience his presence among us. No one more than Adonai knows our nature. And he knows that we need an experience in order to remember, in order to walk with him. This is why Adonai takes the lead once again and asks the people of Israel to bring teruma, to build a mishkan in which he could be served, honored, and worshiped. A mishkan in which the people of Israel could bring their sacrifices and ask for forgiveness. A mishkan in where the praises of his people could be recited. All the praises at one voice would be heard in that mishkan. The mishkan will receive, like I just stated, the offerings, the sacrifices, and the worship of his people. And Adonai, in return, will pour his glory in the midst of his people. And to me, this is the whole purpose of the mishkan, to have a place for his glory to be visible to everyone. The whole purpose of the mishkan was not for him to dwell, but for him to dwell among his people. Are you getting this? When you bring offering, when you bring your worship, when you bring your sacrifices to the mishkan, then he descends. His Shekinah descends, and he wants the Shekinah descends in the Holy of Holies. Then he inhabits in the praises of his people, and he inhabits among his people. And then he starts healing, delivering, and setting everyone free. But first you have to bring your teruma. First you have to bring yourself. Because he needs it? No. He is the owner of the silver and the gold. But he wants you to have an active participation in his glory. To me, this is like, oh my gosh. I have it here. To me, this is like you put the worship, he puts the glory. You put the teruma, he puts the Shekinah. You put your offering, and he puts his presence. It's a dual. It's a dual work, right? The more you give unto him, the more teruma you dedicate to him, the more his Shekinah, the fastest, the quickest, the more prompty that his presence is going to descend. What was it that it was impeding the Shekinah of my Adonai from descending to that place? There was no teruma. There was no place for him to descend. Once they started to bring the teruma,
which for our case is your worship, is your sacrifice. And I know we need to do no sacrifice, because in Yeshua there was one sacrifice forever and ever. But when I speak about sacrifice in this new context of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, is that even if you don't feel like worship, when Ethel is worshiping, it's time to worship. It's not time to say, I have a headache. It's not time to say, I'm tired. When the worship team is here worshiping, the whole congregation has to come into one sacrifice, one teruma into the Lord and worship. And to me, that is a sacrifice of worship. I don't want to worship you, God, because I'm tired and I had the flu just a week ago. I can barely talk. But here is my sacrifice. Hallelujah. And I will worship you no matter what. And even though I don't feel like it's not about me, it's about respecting your commandment. It's about bringing my teruma unto you, Abba Kadosh. Hallelujah. And that is your sacrifice in this temple. Hallelujah. That is a sacrifice. A sacrifice is that instead of going out to the restaurant today and spend $60, well, let me take a teruma out of those $60. And give it unto the Lord. That's my sacrifice. That's my teruma. And that's the sacrifice that I'm talking about. Right? Even when we don't feel like, it's not what we feel like. It's about the commandments. It's about worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Many people have the idea that to follow God and to love God, they can do it in their own way. These people are motivated by the fact that God knows me, or he knows my conditions. And both of these are true. God does know you, and he does know your condition of life. But these facts do not alter the word of God or his commandments. These words or your feelings do not change what the Lord has already commanded from you. So it's not valid. Just like if we read the whole chapter, the Lord gave so many specific instructions to build the Mishkan. He said how to do it, when to do it, exactly word by word. He did not just say, Moses, tell the people to bring a whole bunch of stuff, whatever they don't need in their home, whatever they're going to put in the trash, tell them to bring it to Shema, and because we are going to decorate. No, it's your teruma. It's what is yours. You know what? Some people compare the teruma with the lamb from Passover. You know what is the lamb from Passover? The lamb was living in the household. It was part of the family. The kids were playing with the lamb. The kids were playing. Maybe the lamb slept with the kids. It was part of the family. And that's what it needed to be given. And at one point, it needed to be taken to the Mishkan, to the altar, to be sacrificed. And that was not an easy thing, hallelujah. If you have a dog, you can understand me, right? If you have a pet, you can understand me. After playing with that lamb, after taking care of that lamb, just 1 year of age, so many people compare the teruma with the lamb. Right? It needed to be taken. Not only to be taken, but to be taken to the high priest. And the high priest will inspect the teruma. And the high priest will check that it has no defect. And the high priest will say, it's a perfect lamb. And the owner will say, of course it's a perfect lamb. I raised it. I sacrificed for him. That's my teruma. I took good care of him. And then many people think that the holy priest, that the high priest, was the one who will cut the jugular and sacrifice. It was the head of the household. Okay? The high priest will sacrifice a bull for the seven nations. But for each house, it was the head of the household. And once again, this is compared to the teruma. It was a sacrifice. It hurt. I've been reading, and some people say that the fathers will take their kids with them to offer the sacrifice. Can you imagine that little child, 5, 6 years of age? Lord, come upon over this place. That little child bringing the teruma, his teruma, what he was playing with for a whole year, and bringing it into to be sacrificed. The kid is not understanding. He just knows that is my pet, and I play with him, and I tell him sit, and he will sit, and I tell him jump, and he will jump. But the purpose of the Father is greater. The purpose of the Father is way beyond playing and way beyond saying sit down or showing him some tricks. And there was the Father cutting the jugular, not the high priest, the Father, the head of the household. And this is the teruma. It's about you. I don't understand how some people say, I'm bringing a sacrifice to the Lord, but it doesn't hurt you. Sacrifice needs to hurt. Sacrifice needs to be from your heart. Sacrifice needs to be something that is attached to me. If I have $100 in my home just waiting for someone to ask for it, and I bring it to the altar, that may be an offering, but it's not a sacrifice, because it's not hurting in my soul. It's not hurting in my heart. It's not a teruma. And we need to give all ourselves to the Lord. All ourselves into the teruma. And if the teruma is holy, then your whole life is going to be holy. This is the Mishkan. And everything around the Mishkan, the holy sanctuary, was holy. Even in the outer court, this, where the 12 tribes were, that was holy ground too. Right? This is where they will kill the lamb. That's the altar in which it was burnt. Hallelujah. Everything there was holy. The altar, the fire, everything was holy. But the deeper you go into the Mishkan, the holier it is. So the outer ground is holy. But once you go beyond the fence, which is all white, it represents, be careful, this is holy ground. Stay away. If you are regular, stay away. Because from here on, it's just even a holier place. But here, which is the holy and the holiest of holies, it's even holier. Because the further you go with Abba Kadosh, the holier your life needs to be. Your life cannot be the same if you are in the outer court. That when you go beyond the fence and when you go into the tent, and please note that the inner and the further you go, the less people will be with you. Everybody was here bringing sacrifices, the 12 tribes, everybody was here. Here, just the Levite and the person who will offer the sacrifice. Here, just the Levite. Lonelier. And here, just the priest. That's the holy place with the lamp, with the table of the bread, and with the laver. It's all Yeshua. Yeshua is the light. Yeshua is the bread of life. Yeshua is the one who cleanses us. It's all about Yeshua. It's all about Yeshua. But I don't want you to stay here. I don't want you to stay in the outer court. I don't want you to stay here. I want you to go even beyond this curtain. Hallelujah. Why? Because beyond that curtain is the Shekinah, is the presence, is the Holy Spirit, is the Ruach HaKodesh of Adonai Elohim. That's where you need to be. To offer yourself as a teruma, Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I'm in the deep presence of God, in the heavy presence, in the kavod presence of God, I can do nothing else just to lay down and have Him be God. And I remember that verse, stay still and know that I am a God. And this is in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. That is in the Holy of Holies. The blood of the Lamb was sprinkled there. Hallelujah. This is the seat of mercy. Hallelujah. In which the Shekinah, the full presence, the glory of Adonai will descend, will be poured upon that place once a year. And only the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, could go there. Not everybody was allowed to be there. But you know what? Because it's all about Yeshua. Through the blood of Yeshua, now you can enter there. Hallelujah. You are constituted in a high priest, and you can have access to the Holy of Holies and have access to His Shekinah. Hallelujah. And offer yourself as a teruma, and then He will dwell among His people. Hallelujah. The purpose is not for Him just to dwell there. Is to dwell among His people. You remember the verse? Verse 8. Make me a mishkan so that I will dwell among my people. Not in the Holy of Holies, but among my people. Hallelujah. That's the whole purpose. This is the design of the furniture in the mishkan. Can anybody see? What it forms, it's just like that is in the Mishkan. Because it's all about Yeshua. Yeshua is the light. Yeshua is the water. Yeshua is the blood of the Lamb that was poured there. Yeshua is the full presence of the Father. Yeshua is the bread. Yeshua is the light. And all that was possible because of the blood of Yeshua shred in the cross. Now you can have access to the Holy of Holies. Now you can feel the full presence of the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. We have a song. And I wish I could be teaching about the Mishkan like for 4 or 5 Saturdays. Because this is, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. While we're here to this song, which is 10 minutes, but we're going to cut it like in 3 or 4 minutes, I invite you to let the Holy Spirit get you from the outer core and drive you through the inner core, through the bronze laver, and drive you through the holy place and take you into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. This is an experience that will change your whole life. At one point in my life, I was crying so bad because I wanted to be in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And I was saying, Lord, I don't want to be in the outer side with everybody. No, I don't want to be there. And He was revealing to me, you're not there. You are in the inner court. Lord, I don't want to be in the inner court. I want to be in the Holy of Holies, sticking your face, feeding from your power, from your presence. Hallelujah. That's where I want to be. One day, nobody knew my petition. And I was there like for 3 years. Lord, I want to be in the Holy of Holies. Can you imagine that one day a foreigner, someone that I don't know, from I don't know where, approached me. His name is Kike. And he told me I was a pastor. Pastor, my father tells me that you are in the Holy of Holies. I laid on the floor the whole service. I don't know what they spoke about or what they taught, who preached. I was just laying down. Because I ultimately, finally got into the Holy of Holies.
He did not know that I was praying for that for 3 years. It was just God telling me. Nobody knew my prayer. But the Lord took me into the Holy of Holies. And that's what I want to impart you to you today. We have a few more minutes. Let's go with the song. Hallelujah.
Take me past the outer court and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I long to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing them praise. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into Holy of Holies and take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into Holy of Holies and take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Here I am.
Face. We want to be there in the Holy of Holies, hallelujah, to worship you and to give ourselves as a teruma, as an offering into your presence. Shema Israel, I invite you that if you haven't done it, give yourself as a teruma, as an offering unto the Lord. Let nothing be kept, but give everything. Give full teruma unto the Lord. You want to see miracles and wonder? Give teruma unto the Lord. You want to see things changing in a revival? Give yourself to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, kept us in the cleft of the rock, in the holy place. That's where we want to be. May we dwell in your holy place, hallelujah, forever and ever. May the healing of the holy place, may the power of the holy place, may the Shekinah of the holy place be everywhere that we walk by, be everywhere that we go by. Santo eres Dios, aleluya. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Abba. There is shalom in the holy place. There is power in the holy place. Chodarababa, thank you. Thank you for your experience in the Holy of Holies, Lord. Thank you because your purpose is to dwell among us. I encourage you, Shema Israel, to let nothing withdraw you from the Holy of Holies during this week. There's going to be thunders out there, rockets, bullets, but hide yourself in the Holy of Holies. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Reuben. Maybe you're sitting there today and maybe the Lord touched your heart. Maybe you feel like you're in the outer court and you haven't quite made it to the inner court yet. We're going to ask the prayer team to come up for prayer after the Aaronic benediction. Come up. Move from the outer court to the inner court. Perhaps you're in the inner court right now and you want to get closer to God. You're having some trouble. Come up. Let the prayer team intercede for you. Let them help you move into the holy place. Or if you're at the holy place, maybe the Lord is saying, come in. Come into the Holy of Holies. Come into the most holy place to be with me. The scripture says, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for later. Don't think, well, maybe I'm embarrassed. I don't want to go right now. Come up for prayer. Don't let this opportunity pass by as Abba, Father, Dad is calling you, is touching your heart, is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take this opportunity. So we just thank you, Lord, that you are willing to meet with us. That even though we have sinned, we've broken your laws, you love us so much, we are precious to you, that we are worth the life of your Son to you. We are so precious that you call us to come near, that you want a relationship with us, that you want to cleanse us. And so, Lord, we just ask you to be with us. We ask you to help cleanse us. We ask you to help us to repent and turn from anything that holds us against you. And we ask you, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift that you have given of your Son. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Amen.